here is a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Uryu. We are your TV BFFs, and this is an interview podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we are bringing on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows that you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows, all while choosing from the three genres of TV, which are drama, comedy, and all things unscripted. And if you want to know our criteria picks, then subscribe to this podcast and stay tuned because that episode is coming up soon. And now let's get right to our guest this week and find out what's on their BFF criteria. We're super excited to have this guest with us today. You can see her on the HQ app. She's the host of the Unemployed podcast. And please check out her incredible shot-for-shot remakes of scenes from iconic movies, which are literally my favorite things ever. Please welcome Anna Reisman.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you for saying that about our movie recreations. You know, those you make those in quarantine and you really feel like they go into the world. No one ever sees them. So thank you.
I love them so much. The most recent one specifically.
Seven.
For those who don't know, yes, Anna and her boyfriend Jared do these shot for shot remakes. Iconic movie scenes. They did Seven, starring their dog as well.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Scene stealing role, I would say. And
wait, who did the dog play?
My dog played the Kevin Spacey role. Yeah. He killed it. Usually he has like a cameo. We really gave him a starring role, which is why that one took 4 days to shoot with the sun and the clouds and our dog. It was a nightmare, I should say. It was a lot.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So, Anna, before we get to your BFF criteria,
okay,
I want to know a little bit about your personal TV history. So we're going to start with you revealing the shows that almost made your list. So these are the shows that did not make your top six, but they only just missed the cut. So they might not be your TV BFFs, but they're still pretty good friends.
Okay. Okay. So when you said my history, I thought you were gonna. I was so ready to go because I was a TV major in college. So specifically television, not film. I never wrote a film. I only wrote specs, pilots. Okay, I only had four that didn't make the list.
Okay, so a tight list overall.
It was a tight list overall. Yeah, it's very easy for me because even though I'm a former TV major and I write, I don't watch as much television as most people do. I feel like. That I know. So my almost list was the first one was The Bachelor. I should say The Bachelor franchise. I can't believe that didn't make it because it is the most important show for me in my life right now. But your criteria was very specific and there are reasons why I didn't pick certain shows.
Sure. It requires some strategy. So like where would you have thought, where were you trying to or where would you have put The Bachelor?
The Bachelor I would have probably put in favorite.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I would have put it in favorite because forever you had a rule, you have to watch it in order, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wasn't a huge fan in the earlier season. I didn't come into it until like 6 years ago. You know what I mean? There's probably a good 4, 5, 6, 7, 12. I don't
15.
Even know.
27.
There's a bunch of seasons that I didn't know. I've seen, you know, like when you become a fan and you get into that Bachelor world, you obviously like watch some old stuff, but I'm not one of those people to go back and watch like an old season of anything.
Let's talk about the current season. How do you feel about this current Matt James season that we're in?
Are you guys watching?
So I'm not watching, but I do listen to a podcast with Rachel Lindsay.
And okay.
So I know what it's like gone down with her.
I don't think she really threw Chris Harrison under any bus.
She
I
didn't. Really, she just she was let doing him dig his own grave.
I know. She was doing her job as an interviewer. You know, it was. And I love The Bachelor. I love Chris Harrison. I have loved Chris Harrison. You know what I mean? Like in that whole thing. This was very shocking. So. That's sad. That's unfortunate because she's great. Okay.
And then for me, I actually The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and the whole Bachelor extended universe has been a cultural blind spot for me.
Okay.
Until this very season. I have been watching this season. Yes, because I was actually, so listeners will know Brandy and I are both TV development executives in our day jobs. We make TV for a living. I was developing something with Kit Keenan. So I was like, I want to watch and see what's going on with Kit. And then I'm stuck and I've been watching the whole thing.
Oh man. I have a lot of feelings about this season. I gotta say, I was, I knew Matt James from Hannah Brown's Instagram. Okay, this sounds insane. That sounds like that. I can't believe that came out of my fucking mouth. So do you know who Hannah Brown is?
Yes.
Okay. She was a bachelorette and she was also on The Bachelor. She was a lot. Mm-hmm. And I did not like her as The Bachelorette. But anyway, she was in quarantine, but she was in like one of those fun pods, you know what I mean? With like her and a couple other like Bachelor world people. And Matt James was one of them. And I remember seeing him in the videos and I was like, oh my God, he's hot. And then like all of a sudden, Bachelor Nation, I'm sorry, I know they want to be woke, but their version of woke is not.
No.
Not at all, right? Okay, anybody who is like...
Like, I'm going to dip my finger in the glass of water.
Right. And it's like, because they know they have, like, all of Middle America. So, like, we're not dumb on the East Coast. You know what I mean? People who watch the show were like, okay, right, you're trying to put a person of color in as The Bachelor, so you're just going to pick a random hot guy who hasn't been a part of the show, which is against the rules. There were plenty of men of color in other seasons who would have been great bachelors.
I don't think I realized that he was just kind of plucked up.
Plucked up.
Because I watched The Bachelor at the beginning, so I haven't watched it since the guy that was the prince, since his season. Okay.
But you know how, like, usually one of the top few losers becomes the new bachelor or bachelorette. That's like how it's always been. Nope, not with Matt James. They were like, he's above it. So anyway, my feelings are, I don't like him at all as The Bachelor. He is very boring. I don't know if he's a virgin or if he's not attracted to women, but there is something off. And I really like a lot of the women. I'm always like, you know, I'm already casting them. I'm like, oh, she could be The Bachelorette. She could go on Paradise. You know, I'm giving these people a future. I don't want any of them to end up with him. He was like, in the first episode, I was like, oh, he's hot. He's cute. We all loved him in the first episode. Cut to once he starts kissing these women. I don't know if you've watched. He kisses with his eyes open.
Eyes open. It's creepy.
Completely open. I know. Brandy, you have to see this. I TikToked about it. I couldn't handle it. And his eyes open like a serial killer.
But Anna, have you noticed? Because I noticed that early on. And it may have been aided by your Instagram, but then sometimes you'll see he'll make out with his eyes closed. I'm like, is he only eyes opening the ones he doesn't like to like try and see a reaction or something? Like, I don't know. Because it wasn't,
I don't know. Maybe 100% it's a strategy.
Of the time. It was weird.
That's so creepy.
It's so weird. And I, you know, like when you see certain men on TV, who the way they like touch women and hold women and are affectionate, and something is off. I don't think he's a monster or anything. I just think something's off.
No, but like the way when he's walking them out to the car after they're eliminated with like his arm firmly around their waist, like there's no separation. It's very strange.
Yeah, he doesn't show much emotion. No. Honestly, he should be a model. He's very hot. I'll give him that. And maybe that was his plan for going on The Bachelor. You know, maybe. He'll get some influencer deals out of this shit. That's what they're all really getting. So anyway, I do hate that I love it, but I love it.
No shame.
And I can't wait for Paradise. Honestly, Dan, you're gonna love Paradise. Paradise is the best of all of them.
I have enjoyed some Paradise.
Oh my God. It's like all the rejects who like are just, they go to like an island and they're all just like horny. And it's so, and they
it's
fight.
What the challenge used to be before they started like working out to do challenges.
Oh, before they all became athletes. Got it. Yeah. Right on. I like
it's
that.
Like the old challenges.
It's like a fuck fest. It's fun. Paradise is fun. And it's all the like most dramatic people from the season. Yeah. So it's just like a mess. It's
okay. Great. I want to hang on this for like one more second. Who from this season do you think is going to be on Paradise, or would you want on Paradise?
Kit could go on Paradise.
She probably could, right?
I'd put her on Paradise. What's her face? Obviously, should
Victoria,
go on Paradise.
The queen,
Victoria,
right?
Would make for great Paradise. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, I would put the two of them on. I'm trying to think of who else. I'd put the girl who showed up for 2 hours on Paradise.
Right.
Heather, was that her name?
Heather, and then one of them knew, what was her name? Brittany, I think, the one who made out right away, who had that complicated Chicago history.
I would like that. Yeah, she was hot. Yeah, you got to be hot and crazy to go on Paradise, you know?
I love it. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Jared always says to my boyfriend, Jared says he loves Paradise the best because it's like the most drama.
I love it. So Bachelor sounds like could have been really close. It sounds like
could've
just missed the cut. What else was close?
South Park.
Ooh.
Oh, good.
I'm really sad it's not on the list, actually. I'm staring at this and I'm like, oh, I should change it right now. Yeah, South Park is not on the list.
If you want to change it right now, you can swap something out. Okay, all right.
I'm okay. It's okay as a runner-up.
Do you still watch now? Because my experience with South Park was early seasons, yes. I was young when it came out. I used to sneak watch it so I could talk with my middle school friends at the lunch table about it. Or when like babysitters were around, we'd like hide behind the couch and watch. My mom would flip out if she find out. But like I haven't watched in years and years. Like it's been a long time.
So
are you still up?
Here's the thing with South Park. I watched it very young. I was allowed to watch anything. And so I loved watching it. I loved it because it was like, it was, you know, edgy and cool, but it wasn't The Simpsons. And my dad watched The Simpsons. So I didn't watch it because my dad watched it. You know, those things you do because your parents are, you don't want to do it because your parents are doing it. So South Park was like our show. And I loved it. And I would watch it. And at camp, we brought our like DVDs and VHS specials of like South Park episodes we loved. And we were really, so I grew up with it. And then I would say there were a good, maybe like outright college or after college, I didn't really watch it as much. And then I picked it back up again, specifically like around like 6 or 7 years ago when I went through a very traumatic breakup after 8 years. Oh. I watched a lot of South Park. That was just my way of coping with my life. I was also in therapy, don't worry. But I...
But that's it has an emotional connectivity for you.
Mm-hmm. And Jared loves South Park, and so we watch it a lot. And I have watched the newer seasons, and let me tell you, that it holds up. I mean, South Park can do no wrong. To me, I feel
whenever I've caught an episode, because like I too watched it a lot, like in the 90s, a little bit in like the 2000s, but like really kind of fell off. But like whenever I happen to catch an episode, I'm laughing.
Yeah, they just have that edge. I don't know. Yeah. They always do. And like, you know what you're going to get with them, like, you know, I don't
give
think
me
it's
Randy.
Surprising.
Give me Randy all day, every day.
Oh, all day Randy.
Like, I'm a Timmy fan. Give me Timmy.
My younger brother is named Timmy, so that was beaten to death as a kid. Oh my God.
I love it. I love it. I owned the Timmy Thanksgiving special where Timmy plays Helen Keller in the school. They do the Helen Keller musical for Thanksgiving. None of that makes sense. And I would watch it over and over and over again. And I knew all the songs. I was obsessed with it. I loved the movie. I really loved South Park. I can't believe it's not on the list, actually. Because I watched it, like, last night I watched an episode before bed. You know?
Wow, this feels like this may have missed out on a forever slot. We'll see what ends up there.
Maybe I was drunk when I made my list. I don't know why. something happened.
I love it. What else was close?
Chop Jr.
Okay. I'm a huge baking championship fan. So I have watched I've watched a lot of Chopped Junior as well.
Yeah, like I love Chopped. I can watch Chopped all the time if I watched that much TV. But when Chopped Junior came out, it was like next level because they make those kids cry. They do not care that they are children. So I love that. You know, and these kids come on with, they know how to do reality TV. They like come on with a sad story and like their plans for their 10 grand or whatever. You know, they're like, I got bullied in school, but I'm going to take my parents on a vacation when I win $10,000. And like, and then they get like brutally, like, you know, the judges are harsh on them. They're like, this is undercooked chicken. You could have killed me. And these kids are like, I'm sorry, chef. I'm so sorry. Like, they're like, oh, it's so good.
And that's funny. And that's just, this is both both Chopped Junior and Kids Baking, they're both Food Network, right? Because I remember Kids Baking, they don't get that harsh, do they, Brandy?
They're not harsh on Kids Baking. They're like they're very nice. It's like the Great British Baking Show Kids Baking.
I've probably seen the Kids Baking one before. I watch it a lot. I watch a lot of food, but I was going to put Chopped, but I was like, no, I went through a period where I DVR'd every Chopped Junior episode. And I would just like play them when I needed like a good 3 hours of like nonsense TV, you know?
I love it.
Awesome. Yeah.
A very wide range of picks here. This is an impressive kind of backstory.
This is so random. Yeah, I am random like that. It's how I am with music too. Music and TV are I used to make mixes of all moods with music, and it was like Broadway, 70s, rap, 90s, you know.
And like, here's a country song.
Yeah, like anything. So yeah. All right, I have one more on my almost.
What's your last one?
Let's hear it.
Big Little Lies.
Oh.
Wow, you both cocked your head to the side the same way.
Well, because my head instantly went to season one, yes. Season two, head cock?
Oh my God, Meryl Streep stole season two.
Yeah, but she was the only reason to watch it, though.
It was enough for me.
I needed a little bit more from the end on season two. I felt like it was leading, and then I was just like, oh. We're done.
Are we getting another season of that show? Like, I'd be fine if we didn't or did, but I like it a lot, so I hope we do.
I don't know, because David E. Kelly kind of a similar. He just did The Undoing, which is kind of similar. So who?
Right.
I don't know. He'll probably do another show that ends in a courtroom in Nicole Kidman. Probably.
Listen, I would love for another show that's like set in like what Montecito, like wherever that was. Like I could watch.
Beautiful.
I could be there all day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that opening credits sequence.
Go. I've seen people like on Instagram like go and sit at that like restaurant on the pier, and they're like, "I'm Big Little Lies," and I'm like, "Oh my god, you are." Yeah, so Big Little Lies. I just love the acting in it. They're so good. And yeah, season one was so good that like, I'm like that though. If I like a certain, if I like a season, like, I guess there are some shows I fell off on, but I'll watch it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's not as good.
Yeah, it's hard for me to quit a show as well. I've gotten more ruthless now that there's just so much. I'm like, I can't keep watching Shameless into its 13th, 15th, 17th season. This is ridiculous.
I loved Shameless. I haven't watched it in years, but yeah, I liked the first like 5 or 6 seasons, whatever it was, before it went to Netflix.
It's been on for that long?
It fell off big time. It's Emmy Rossum's not on it anymore. Like,
she's not?
No, as of like for the last 3 seasons.
She was the show.
I know.
Actually, I love Lip. He's my favorite.
Lip's great.
Oh my God. There's something very like attractive about him. I don't know.
Also, more Phillips should go by Lip in the real world. Why don't they? You're not Phil. You're Lip.
Go by
Lip.
Lip. Yeah, it's a good name.
All right, Anna, let's get to your top six, your TV BFF criteria. As a quick refresher, we ask you to pick 6 shows in total with 2 shows in each of the 3 categories. Those 3 categories are best, favorite, and forever. Your best shows are the ones that you think are the most artistic or well-executed or just overall the best things that you've ever seen. Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart and mean something to you personally. And the best way to describe the forever category is if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose 2 shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over again forever. What are those?
And then for each category, we had you choose from the 3 overall genres of TV, which are comedy, drama, and unscripted, with unscripted meaning anything from reality TV shows to documentary series. And there must be multiple episodes, so there's no one-offs allowed. But other than that, it can be anything. And there are no such things as guilty pleasures here. So we are not here to TV shame. You watch whatever you want and love whatever you want.
Thank you.
And the only other rule is that you can't double up on any genre in any category. So if you pick a comedy in your best category, the other pick has to be either unscripted or drama, which makes it kind of hard.
Definitely does. That's why I'm sad about my almost list.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
So we'll start with best. What is the first entry on in your best category?
Okay. My best first entry was Pen 15.
Love.
Oh, big fan. Huge fan of Pen 15.
I laugh so hard that my stomach hurts.
I mean, they killed it. It's the show I wish I wrote. It's like exactly, you know,
why didn't I?
Right?
That's all I ask myself. It's like,
so
I should.
So funny.
Like...
So Anna, so for those who don't know, tell, what is Pen 15 and why is it on your best list?
Pen 15 is a comedy on Hulu. No,
Hulu.
Hulu. And it's two girls who are best friends, and they are in their 30s, but they're playing themselves in middle school. And it is like, not, it takes place in like the late 90s, early 2000s, I think. And it's like everyone else is the right age. They are all kids or teenagers, and they play themselves as those, as teenagers, which sounds wrong, but it's so right for this show.
It's inspired, honestly. Like, it works so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny because Jared says guys couldn't have done this. And it's true. I don't think guys could have done this. However, I understand why they did it, because a lot of the stuff that has to do with, like, you know, puberty and periods and sex and blowjob, like, they do. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll notice there's not as many. And they were like, well, we wanted to play it so it was appropriate for us to be able to, like, talk about certain subjects and, like, right. Masturbating and stuff. So, because they, I heard them in an interview talk about that. And I was like, oh, okay, I get that. Like, yeah. But they're so funny. Like, they're just, and it's so real.
That's what I was going to say. It's yeah. So spot on. Like, it's I fired up season one. And when I got to the episode that was all about AIM, I lost it. I'm like, this was my experience.
Yeah.
This is exactly this.
That's how I lost my virginity. It was figuring it out on AIM. I called it AIM. I don't know. AIM. But like, we AIM aimed is, yeah. each other, and we figured out our plans to have sex as teenagers. That was Same. Literally where the magic happened.
Same. And like, yeah, there was an art to like crafting your perfect away message so that one person you were sending a message to got it, right?
Right. That's a subtweet now. Now we fucking tweet that, right? Remember we had quotes? We would
put the
like,
quotes, yeah. the music yeah. that you'd put down that you're like, it was,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it was everything. It's I love so that funny. They just really, they capture that moment. Like 12 and 13 are like such awkward ages. And it's so hard to put into words like why it's so awkward. It's just mm-hmm. like a feeling. It's just like you feel weird in your body and like they look weird in their bodies.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
They carry that. They're so like, funny.
I mean, just in that first episode when her mom gives her that haircut that mm-hmm. she has for like, the rest of the show.
What are you doing with that bowl? No.
I'm going to get better. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to make it better.
I'm not six anymore. Don't put it.
Daijoubu. Hi, hi. Hi, hi, hi.
Okay, but not really sure, okay? No, like, no, not no. like you've done just before.
Like a layer, okay?
Like a layer?
Okay, but not like a bowl.
What the fuck did you do?
Shut up, Shuji.
And I love that that's her mom. That's her real mom.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Who didn't act before, and she was like, yeah, my mom will just play. Like, that's so funny. And you can tell that they really have, like, there is heart to the show. Season two was sad. Like,
it was.
I was like, oh, they're really, like, giving, you know, you feel for these characters. It's as funny as it is, it's just as like emotional and like heartwarming. So
now, did season two, for those who haven't seen, without spoiling anything, there's a big school theater plot line. Were you mm-hmm. also a theater kid? Did that hit now, like, not yeah. only with the nostalgia but also that experience?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I did theater all through high school. Thanks. I also, like, my theater company at high school, we were a company, okay? It was the okay. Right. theater nice. company. It was student run. Like, we had teachers who were like, you know, the direct, I don't know, they didn't direct, but they like supervised. There was always a student director. There was really also a teacher. And so the tech were students as well. And so I thought like that hit home because she, you know, one of them's in the tech and one of them's on right. stage. And so like, it was drama like that. Like, we like had, we were like, oh my God, like the techies are like hot. You know, like the guys who do the lights are like cool. They're in all black. They're like tech people. Like, you know, so there was like this whole like divide between the techies and the, you know, actors. But yes, it was very much, and we were like a cult, you know, and it felt, they really nailed that. Like, I remember like I skipped school. My best friend and I skipped school on opening. We were like, we are so tired from tech last night, you know, like tech the night before, like your 1 weekend of shows. And I just remember my best friend Brendan and I, we were like, oh, we are so tired. We can't go to school in the morning. And so we didn't go. We got bagels. We like just didn't go to school. And it was opening night of Guys and Dolls. And I was obviously playing Adelaide and he was Nicely Johnson. Two huge roles in Guys and Dolls. And we show up at like 1 p.m. and sign into school. And they were like, there's a rule. You can't participate in after school activities if you don't show up to school that day on time. And we were like, okay, but we're like the leads of the show. Like,
right.
we have to perform tonight. We have worked 6 months to... We were like, we don't have understudies, okay? We are meant to be
the
stars.
We have been working up to this weekend, okay? We have been working up to this weekend.
Oh, my God. We got to go on. I don't know what... We had to, like, meet with the vice principal. I remember it was, like, drama. I had to call my mom and be like, I'm not sick. I'm fine. Like, it was... So that episode was, like, the best ever. Yes.
One more question before I move on.
Okay.
Do you identify more as a Maya or as an Anna?
I feel like a little bit of both. I don't know. I think they both, like, they have similarities, but they also have different, like, upbringings and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Anna is really dealing with her parents' divorce, and Maya, right? Yeah, Anna mm-hmm. is, and Maya is not. So I feel like a little bit of both. I think Anna, I was more dramatic, like... Anna. I don't know. They're both dramatic. It's really hard. That's a hard question. Who do you pick?
Probably Maya. I feel like she's in her head more.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of where I was. My mom to this day still actually sometimes calls me, but used to call me the Dark Prince because I would just like go in my room, read my books, play my bass guitar, like just do my own thing and like leave me alone. I'm fine. That feels like more Maya to me, I would think.
Yeah, Prince.
Definitely.
Needs to be your Twitter bio.
She's the drummer. She's the percussionist.
Right.
Yeah. Brandy, who are you?
I think I'm a little bit Maya in that I'm a little bit in my head, but I'm also a little bit of Anna in that, like, especially in... my thing and what I feel like what character I'm not really seeing on the show is, like, who I was in middle school, which is, like... just as dorky as you can be, but like so much self-confidence.
Yeah.
So much like outsized self-confidence for somebody who was 5'8", 110 pounds soaking wet with glasses and terrible fashion sense. Like, couldn't tell me shit.
I love that.
I was like, I don't have a boyfriend because like guys obviously just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like it's not me.
Oh my God, I love that so much. You know who you relate to? Remember the girl who hosted the sleepover? That was the best character ever. Jared and I were like, she deserves an Emmy, that girl. I forget her name. Who had the sleepover party and was like, do you guys want to get involved in the, you know, like, where she was like, I know everything. It's my party. Like,
I was like such a, it's like, you really couldn't tell me shit. So I had I feel like I had a great childhood, but looking back on it, it's like, that could have broken a lesser girl.
I love that so much.
Oh, that's incredible. Anna, what's your second entry in your best category? We're looking at either an unscripted or a drama.
Yeah, this was hard for me because I watch a lot more unscripted in my life, but I picked a drama. I picked a very recent show because I told you it's hard for me to remember shows like after I watch them. I have to watch an episode 14 times to remember like a line from it or something. Same with movies. I don't know why, but it's something I can't retain. I picked The Undoing.
Oh, okay.
That was a reaction.
Another David E. Kelly jam.
I did, yeah.
Another Nicole Kidman, David E. Kelly combo.
This was the first show in so long for me, and maybe it was also because we were in a pandemic, and you know that I was so mad I couldn't watch another episode. I had to wait for it week to week, and that's how you know you really enjoy something, when you're like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, you know, I'd come up with theories. I was like trying not to go on Reddit. I was really into it, and that's how I know I love it. I would say like overall now I have some, you know, criticisms of it, but it was like, I kept being, anyone I talked to, I'm like, have you watched The Undoing? Like, I would just like start a meeting like that. Like, oh, last night, man, that episode. Like, I really enjoyed it. So I put it down because I thought it was the best this year, at least.
You know what? That is a good point, though. Like, that show did have something that very few shows do nowadays. Where it did feel like when it was on for those, 7 weeks or so, it felt like...
Not even. Yeah, it was like six episodes.
Yeah,
episodes.
It felt like part of the monoculture, though. Like,
everybody was talking about it.
It was a whodunit. Everyone had their theories and everyone mm-hmm. had like... It was a conversation piece, and I think that's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm. And we're not used to shows coming out weekly like that as much, mm-hmm. you know, drama, like a big drama like that. Like, we get it all usually now on Netflix or something, so. Mm-hmm.
Brandy, I know you have a strong opinion about this show. Tell us about your thoughts on The Undoing.
Okay, well, I'll preface it with, I didn't watch it. But I will also say...
Then she's not allowed to say anymore. That's it. She can join us on the next show.
It's like, I will exit here.
Yeah.
But the reason that I didn't watch it was I was just like, I just can't with like another show with like rich white people like doing murder. Like, and like wondering who did it. Like, the rich white person probably did it. Like,
I got that. I got that. That's a very legit reason to not watch it. There are a lot of those right now.
Yeah. It was an interesting show for me. I think, you know, putting it in your best category was, I mean.
Well, it's hard because it's not like my favorite show. It's not the best show I've ever seen. But based on all of your criteria, when I put everything down and I had to eliminate, I couldn't put South Park and Pen 15 in the same category. That sucked. So right. I felt like I got into it more than Big Little Lies. I was like trying to think of like what other dramas. I famously have never watched Game of Thrones, Mad Men. I stopped watching Breaking Bad after season 2 for no other reason than I forgot that there were more.
That's fun. Listen.
Do you want to know? Oh, you know what else was on the list? I forgot to add it, but it was almost taking place of The Undoing. And I probably should have switched it. It was Nip Tuck. That was what I was going to maybe put.
Oh, wow. Nip-tuck. That was the very first show I ever binged.
Mm-hmm, me too, I think.
We have Netflix and mail, right?
Yes, yeah. Me too.
Yes, me too. That was a fluke. I moved into an apartment that had no cable and I was there alone. I was sick for a weekend or something and like I was just there by myself and I just remember Nip Tuck, he had like 2 seasons of Nip Tuck and I watched it all and then I got Netflix and I ordered the rest and they sent the wrong one and I went to Best Buy to buy it because I was pissed off. They sent the wrong like disc.
That's happened, yeah.
Fucking kidding me. Yeah. So I got really into Nip Tuck. That was, yeah.
Wow. The Carver. Do you remember speaking of whodunit, The Carver was the biggest mystery.
That was such
time.
A good show, right?
Mm-hmm. It was good in the moment. Looking back on it from like 2021 standards, like problematic. Problematic.
For sure.
But when you're in it, absolutely like propulsive.
I mean, everything about Kimber.
Yeah. Kimber. I forgot about Kimber.
What a name. Oh my God.
But at the time, yeah. So I don't know. I picked The Undoing because it was fresher and I was like, if I like it now, it's probably good. It is rich white people murdering, but it was, but it's good. It's a good version of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. So we have Pen 15 and The Undoing. Asterix maybe could have, should have been South Park, but rules are rules. Let's move on to the favorite category. What is your first favorite show?
Will and Grace.
Ooh.
I like that.
This is a fun one.
Mm-hmm. I wrote my final on it in school.
Tell us about that.
You know, I had to you had to tie in like a show to something in culture. And I talked about Will and Grace and its impact on gay culture and, you know, LGBTQ. I shouldn't say gay culture, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I probably said that at the time, honestly, when I graduated college. I was like, that's what you say.
Right.
But I love Will and Grace. I think the four of them are brilliant. Each of them could have their own show. I live for it. I don't know. It's just, I grew up with it. It was like, I liked it more than Friends. It came on after Friends. I watched a lot of Friends and I loved Friends, but I just like related to Will and Grace. I was like, that's my best friend in high school was gay, Brendan. And we would like pretend we were like Karen and Jack. Like that was like our like makeup, like make pretend we're like them at a restaurant. We're like, oh my God, we're so them. Like we were, I don't know. I just loved it. And then it came back in the last few years.
Think about like with the comeback.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought the writing is so sharp on it. Like, they definitely got new writers. They had amazing guest stars on it. Like, Vanessa Bayer was so funny. I don't know if you know she was, or if you
I
watched.
Didn't know.
Oh my God. She played Karen's assistant, and Karen's like a hardcore Trump supporter in the new seasons. And
oh my
like,
God.
She's not. And like, you know.
Bad tracks.
She like, it's so funny. She's like she plays a baker who like Karen orders a MAGA cake from and she doesn't want to make the MAGA cake. And then she ends up hiring her as her assistant. And then Vanessa Bayer like buys a baseball team. It's such a weird arc that they gave her, but like, she's so funny. Yeah, I thought the new seasons were great. I watched all of it.
Awesome.
I'm curious. I know you mentioned that sometimes the memory of specific events or things is tricky, but I'm wondering if you have a favorite either episode or moment or that thing, like when you think Will and Grace, what pops in your head? Because like I know for me, the sitcom of this kind of era for me was Friends. My mom watched it all the time. I watched it all the time with
me
her.
Me too. Yeah.
And I could think like I know that my favorite episode is the one with all the embryos because it's the one where they play the game show, and it will always be my favorite Friends episode. if anyone asks. Like, so what is your favorite Will and Grace episode if you had
I can think of two that I really love. I love the one when Jack finally comes out to his mother. Jack had never come out to his mom, and he's like the most flamboyant ever, and like they're all, no one can believe that she doesn't know. And then when he finally like comes out to her, she like, there's something, I forget her line, but she like complains about her highlights or something. Like it clicks finally. It's just like such a funny, it's such a good, he plays it so like straight, you know, for lack of a better word, but he plays it so real. And you're like worried, you're there with him. You're nervous. Yeah. He's coming out to his mom. And then it's just such a quick joke. Like it just, another episode I live for, Molly Shannon had a really fun, like she was like a co-host, she would come on every so often. And she played someone who went to high school with Grace, and she's a kleptomaniac, and she steals from them. And like, she's just so Molly Shannon and so funny. And yeah, I love it. And I love Leslie Jordan on it too. Like he, you know, I know he blew up this year on social media, but like him and Karen always had like beef, and it was just so they were so mean to each other. Every line is a roast. So I like that.
It's so funny you say that, because the Leslie Jordan of it all, like he blew up recently.
Yeah.
I started following him.
But I remember watching, be like, how do I know this person? How do I know him? How do I know this person? And it wasn't until this very moment where you've connected the dots. I'm like, of course.
Same.
It was this.
That's so funny. Grace.
Yeah, he was Karen's nemesis. She hated him.
Karen Walker, I thought I smelled gin and regret.
Beverly Leslie, you look more like a woman every time I see you.
Thank you. But poor you. Your husband, Stanley Walker, dumps you for a younger hoochie mama who serves soft potatoes. He went from smashed to mashed. I have to laugh to keep from crying. Ow!
So funny, though. Whenever it comes on, I'm like, oh. It's always on some channel I don't get, and I forget that I don't have it, and I always, because I watch
cable. Oh, and then you
cable.
Click on it, and then it's like, if you'd like to, you could be watching this if you call this, and I'm just like, fuck you, how do I not have TLC?
Yeah. I'm like, we pay $200-something. Yeah. I'm like, I can't watch a fucking old Will and Grace episode right now.
Yeah.
That's anyway. A great pick, though. That's an excellent pick. Love that one. What is your second favorite show?
American Idol.
Oh, sing it. Okay. So many questions running through my head.
It sounded like you said, okay, sing it.
No.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I'll give you 16 bars.
Yes. 5, 6, 7, 8.
This was hard. This was a hard one. Because I, you know, you want to I want to impress you both and pick a drama and pick something really like, you know, smart. But I refused to watch Game of Thrones. I tried to watch it. 2 episodes. I fell asleep. I know it was snowing. I saw the finale because they watched it at work, and I drank during it, and I was just kind of like not there. But yeah, I picked American Idol.
American Idol is a good pick. Now, are you you'll watch all the singing shows, or this is the only one that you do? Like, what about American Idol is the best of all of them?
Well, for me, it was the first. It was the first one, right, that I knew. I mean, aside from, like, I didn't really watch Star Search. I was too young, I think, then. But I loved American Idol. Like, that was, like, everything to me in high school. I wrote about it on my journals and shit. I auditioned for season 3 because I sing, and I was, like,
You can sing it. So you avoided the question. You can sing it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I can sing all of American Idol. That's a thing. Yeah. So I slept on the streets outside the Javits Center. I didn't even live in New York, and I for overnight with my mom in sleeping bags on the sidewalk to audition for American Idol.
Wow.
Yeah. And I loved the original 3 judges. I do have to say I fell off. I haven't watched as much in the last 5 years or so, but I probably watched more seasons than not, and I'm watching this year because why wouldn't I? I love American Idol. I don't know.
Listen, I feel like 2 of the best decisions that America ever made are Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood.
Yes, yes.
Like, that gives me faith in like a voting public and Obama.
Yeah. It really does. I do watch other singing shows. I should tell you, I love The Voice. I watched X Factor. I'd say is like talent, and America's Got Talent. I watched them though. I really enjoy them. But I love The Voice. That was actually I was like debating on putting the. But I was like, how can I pick The Voice over American Idol? Like, no.
You really can't. Maybe if it was when it had like those first maybe 4 or 5 seasons where like the format still felt fresh and. Mm-hmm. We hadn't been through 27 different judges, but yeah.
I think I'm also a diehard Masked Singer fan.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have not gotten into that.
Oh, it's the best. Masked Dancer, I give it like a B minus. We watched it, but like Masked Singer is the shit. Great new concept. I hope they make masked everything. It's so fun.
I want to go back to American Idol though, real quick.
Okay. Sorry.
No, because I'm curious about, because I haven't watched since those early seasons, but American Idol switched networks. It went from Fox to ABC.
Yeah, because of Ryan.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Do you notice a difference? Is it a different show? Does it feel different, better?
Like, I do notice, yeah. Well, because Ryan Seacrest became Kelly's co-host, Ryan and Kelly, and that's ABC. So when that happened, American Idol moved. So that's a lot. When you're the host of American Idol and you're like, sorry, I'm signing this other deal. Like, if you want me to do American Idol, come to this network.
Right. Come to me.
Could you imagine? That's how I imagine it went.
And that person is Ryan Seacrest.
I can't wait to be that person where I'm like, actually, if you want me to host this big, you know, famous show, like you can move it over. If I have time, I'll see if I can throw it in my schedule. I think that's how it went. Probably didn't. There is a difference. I've noticed that the ABC version of American Idol, they are not showing as many like bad auditions. There's not as much humor.
William Hung would have no screen time on ABC.
Yeah. They don't show as many like jokes. You know what I mean? Like, we got a lot of joke auditions on that Fox one, which I loved. Sometimes watch the bloopers on like YouTube. We used to watch that at HQ. We'd watch over and over again just like the bad auditions from all these shows. There aren't that many. And when I watch the ABC one, I'm like, wow, they're all like pretty good. And, you know, they still have the sad stories, but
Fox like almost seems gritty.
Fox, yeah, a little bit, right?
A little like handheld gorilla.
Yeah.
ABC's like, can we edit out, you know, the sad people?
Who sang Beauty and the Beast? Let's get them back up here.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, though. I mean, Fox, I feel like it maybe felt grittier because it like kind of started a genre of television in a way, right? Like, so it kind of had to invent itself. And now with ABC, it's like, here's this great plate of food that I know I like 85% of it. I'm just going to pick off the couple things I don't like. And then here you go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It still has a similar feel. You know, you still have the same format. But yeah, it's definitely not as wild. Mm-hmm.
So now we've come to my favorite category, the forever shows. So we've learned what you think are the best shows you've seen and your two favorite shows. Now I want to know, what are the two shows that you would watch on a loop forever in the afterlife? What's your first pick?
One of these was surprising, but I really took to heart the on a loop forever in the afterlife. Okay. The first one was a no-brainer, Sex and the City.
Okay. It's a good one.
That's Thank a really you. Good one.
Thank
it's
you.
An incredibly entertaining show that I never get tired of watching, even though part of it hasn't aged as well as you would think that maybe it could have. Mm-hmm. But I still like, I watch it for, I know the moment in time that it took place.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I think as a woman, you watch it now and you mostly hate Carrie because you're like, she really treated these men like shit. Like, I can I can step away from the Sex and the City, you know, bubble and be like, wow, I didn't know that back when I watched it as a teenager, you know, that.
Yeah, I didn't realize like Carrie was such a piece of shit.
Yeah. but here's the thing. Sex and the City for me, it is the show I watch every night before I fall asleep. Mm. If it is not on, there's a hierarchy. It's Sex and the City, South Park, and then what's the plastic surgery show where you're
botched?
Botched.
Yes. That's
to
the order.
To fall asleep?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
I also love slasher films. I will fall asleep to like Chucky. That's fine. Jared and I watch Sex and the City every night on E! It is on most nights. I don't like when it's not, although I do like the Kardashians. If it's taking away my 1 a.m. Sex and the City, I have a problem with it, and I'll put it on HBO. But I watch it every single night to fall asleep, and so that's how I know I can watch it forever. I could watch it forever.
I was just going to say what differentiates it from the Will and Graces, but that makes sense. Like, everyone kind of has their...
Will and Grace I could watch forever, but it's not as much, you know, Sex and the City, you have more of an arc. So if,
more development.
Like you said, yeah, if I have to go from start to finish, like that's more of a journey for me. Will and Grace, you can put on any episode and I'll laugh and I'll love it. But Sex and the City, I'll know where I am in time with that.
Are there any episodes that you prefer to fall asleep to? Or any, like, which era of Sex and the City? Like the Carrie and Aiden? Or are you more like...
I hate Aiden.
You hate Aiden?
I'm a big fan. Team big, yeah. I hate Aiden.
Oh, I loved Aiden. I couldn't believe...
Oh, boy.
I loved him. I was like, make me some furniture, bitch.
He's a type. I know.
But I also, I mean, I listen, look, I get big. I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But Aiden was where it was at for me.
I like, if I had to, like, Aiden's better than Burger. I'll give him that.
Everyone's Burger. Better than Burger. Yeah.
But if I had to pick Team Big, I like the later seasons more, which is interesting for a show. You know, usually people are like, that show fell off. Like, we say that with a lot of shows. Sex and City got better as it went on. I think they hired new writers as they went on. And I think their stories got better and, you know, the fashion got better. And yeah, honestly, whenever they play the finale a lot, American Girl in Paris parts one and two. And whenever it's on, I'm like, oh, it's a good night. Like, I have memorized Carrie's outfits from the finale and I live for it. Like, I love it. I love when he comes. I hate, what's his face?
The ballerina.
Yeah, he treats her like shit, you know?
And like, and a part of me, like, looking back at it now, I'm like, okay, so she, like, we were leading up to her deserving this shit. But, so I'm glad that, like, it's like, so fine, Carrie, you got what you deserved, and then you got it. But.
You know who's my favorite, though? Smith, of all the men. Smith Jarrett. I mean, come on.
Smith,
you don't get the nicest, hottest man like that.
Wait, so I haven't seen this show. I am going to watch it, though, before the reboot comes out, which I have questions about. But wait, you're telling me there's a man named Smith Jarrett?
Yeah, he's so hot.
That's a man with two last names. Normally you get guys with two first names. That's two last names.
Smith Jarrett.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. Like, I still, like, I'm feeling it in my heart when he shaved his head for Samantha.
Oh, I know. Oh my god. Oh my god. He is the nicest. You don't meet it. That's like a robot. You don't meet a man that hot and nice.
Mm-mm.
Sorry, you don't. But
I'm right in front of you guys. I'm just saying.
No, I love it. I love all the characters. I'm so excited to have them back. Even I'm sad Samantha won't be in it, but I like how I feel about the movies. They're very problematic. However, I just like watch them and I'm like, they're back. They're back together again. Like, that's my brain. Mm-hmm. You know, oh wow, yeah, they're in Dubai and things are, is this racist? Probably. But look, they're all best friends. Like, I literally,
they're my friends.
It's so weird how I can just, you know, it's nostalgia, I think.
So
it's
what are you hoping for with the reboot, which is not titled Sex and the City? It's titled
it's like
and then there
and just like that.
Oh, and just like that. I was like, and then there was one, but no.
And just like that. Yeah, and then there was three. And then there were three. What am I hoping for? I'm excited to see, honestly, I'm excited for the clothes. I'm excited to see who they're still with. I'm excited to see, like, how they handle comedy now. Like, I know they've hired, like, a very different writing staff. Like, I think there's one older writer and everyone else is new and it's diverse. And I'm excited to see, like, can they make Sex and the City, like, today? I don't know. Because like you said before, yeah, it's not – there's so many issues.
They all have black assistants now.
Like Jennifer –
like how they put Jennifer Hudson in the movie.
Who I love in the movie.
Yeah,
she's
was
so
great.
Cute in it.
She was
She's
great.
So good. I was so – and then she went on to win an Oscar. I'm like, out of all that movie,
And how and my second question is, and coming from someone who, again, I haven't seen it, but I'm excited to watch before this comes out. And I'm also just intrigued by a reboot without one of the four literal stars. How do you think they should handle No Samantha? Like, what's the best way forward?
COVID killed her. Honestly, like, I don't – I that sounds so awful, but like you, I don't know. I don't.
I mean, I can see them have grown. Like it feels natural. They could have grown out of being friends with her. Like friendships change, people change. Like you are super close to somebody now, and you're not as close to them. And like, because now it's what, like almost 20 years since the show ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably like 15 since the movie or something. Yeah. The last movie. Yeah, no, I don't know. I feel like they might do something dramatic though, and. Mm-hmm. Kill her off. I don't know how, but I've seen a lot of spectate, you know, people are guessing they're like, she's going to die of COVID, which is because they said they're going to address the pandemic.
They're going to address the pandemic. Mm.
Who knows? Maybe she got eaten. I don't know.
Eaten?
I think like give it something like you can give it anything, okay, so and have it be done. And just
she
like,
started dating Armie Hammer. No one has seen her since.
Yeah.
That could be it. Honestly, that
last
I could
scene
see that.
At Armie Hammer's house.
Like, yeah, like just something like recent and insane. And like, I don't know, because it's sad. I don't know if you, Brandy, have you ever seen the video of Kim Cattrall in an interview talking about Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah.
That was, I felt like when you're watching your parents get divorced, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's that real? It's that yeah. mean? And
I was like, oh my God, like there's no love here.
None.
There's no love here.
It was nasty. And yeah. I was like, oh. So I like pretend I haven't seen that video, but I have it. I think about it when I think about this Samantha not being in it. It's, mm-hmm. And I don't want them to replace her. Like, we don't need.
No, I think like either just don't have her in at all. Like,
yeah.
Don't have her in and be like, she's gone. We're not friends anymore. She died of COVID.
Yeah.
She got stuck in the travel ban. Like, she can never come back.
Jared's really mad, I gotta
he
say.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's his favorite. He hates the other three so much that he told me he refuses to watch. I can watch the new season on my own. He will not watch it without her. He's very vocal about it.
He hates oh my God. Miranda.
He
and
hates
Charlotte?
The three, all of them.
I can see Carrie.
They all speak and he hates everything they say. And then Samantha, he loves Samantha.
Oh,
and I,
that's
you know, I don't know how much he watched before me, but now he's mad. He's like, it's not on tonight. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, they're showing Kardashians. We can't watch Eat. Like, it's a thing.
That's a great pick. A great Thank forever you. Pick. We have one more to reveal. What is your second forever show?
This is a surprising one. And this was where I struggled between Chopped Junior or Top Chef. I picked Top Chef.
Okay. That's a good
for
one.
For my other forever show, because Top Chef, I felt like if I have to go in order from start to finish, I really took that to heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more in each season from start to finish than Chopped, which is like a Will and Grace, like where I can put on any episode of Chopped.
Right.
And I don't
you can randomize
I don't
remember, it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can, that doesn't matter. So I thought, give myself a little bit of an arc, you know, season to season at least. So I picked Top Chef.
I love that. Top Chef is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly one of my favorite reality shows of all time.
But is it a forever show?
It's or? Close. It's in the conversation because like if you're in the afterlife, I kind of want the memory of food,
mm-hmm.
right? And like Top Chef is some of the best food you're going to see. Lots of seasons, lots of content, and they're
Very
still
bingeable.
Making them. And they're mm-hmm. still making
yeah.
them. So like
yeah.
you get through a watch and go back to the beginning, you might rack up a couple seasons. So you got some new stuff at the end by the time you get back around.
Yeah. Yeah. And I worked in fine dining for 7 years. I really like, you know, when I was working in Boston, when I was in college, I worked in Boston at very fancy restaurants. Like some of like the chef from the restaurant, like, you know, that competed with us went on the show. Like, I feel like I was like in that world for so long that it was, and I worked for Tom Colicchio. So that was fun.
Oh, I did not know that. I knew you were in fine dining. I didn't know you worked for the, you know,
Tom, oh, yeah. Big Tom.
I worked for Tom for a year in LA. I worked for Kraft.
Cool.
That's awesome. Brandy, are you a Top Chef watcher?
I am. I really do like Top Chef. I feel like I haven't religiously watched like every season. I definitely did for like probably the first like
Me
four
too.
Or five. And then I kind of fell off. But like I did come back and watch this past All-Star season. Mm. And I always really enjoy it when I watch it. Like I really like watching competition shows of like real talent. And mm-hmm. also where it's not based on like, I mean, everybody obviously needs to be good TV, but like, it's not about like arguing and backstabbing with each other. It's mm-hmm. just, it's really about like, can you make this? And is it good?
And we've all gotten more obnoxious over the years with food. So I feel like everybody now judges harder. So like the chefs mm-hmm. have to be even better. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think like,
you can't just put that little foam on it and think that you did something.
No. Like, well, like, was so I like 10 Marcel, years ago. Yeah.
Marcel started the foam.
I was yes. going to say, that's so Marcel. But you know what's funny, Anna? You meant like, I think you're right. Society is more like harsh on food and critical of food. But the show has kind of had an opposite trajectory. Like, because I've, during quarantine, have gone back and watched some older seasons. Chicago and New Orleans and the All-Stars and like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And those early seasons are much more like reality, and they're, you know, they focus on the arguments and who stole the pea puree and like all this shit.
Yeah, there was more like in the house too, right?
Definitely more in the house.
Hooking up and like, oh my God, is someone cheating on their partner from at home in the house? But now it's like they become friends and collaborators and like you can tell like there's just like a really good vibe. Like I just kind of want to hang out on the Top Chef set now.
Yeah.
Just like the vibe has changed so much and I love it.
Yeah. I got to also say, I don't know if it speaks for the show, but I've worked in for a, you know, a handful of big chefs and Kraft was the cleanest and like most well-run restaurant that I worked for of all the restaurants I worked for. Like the least amount of like drama and like just like, it, you know, everything was very tight there. You know what I mean?
Tom practices what he preaches.
He does. There you go.
Do you have a favorite either season or chef testant? I'll ask both.
That's hard.
We don't have to choose one, but like among your favorites.
I definitely was more of a fan in the earlier seasons. So like the earlier ones and then the all-star ones. I can't remember the names of everybody. I loved, what's it called? What was his name? Brian? I liked the brothers.
The Voltaggio brothers.
The Voltaggios. Yes.
And they had restaurants. I feel like they were in LA, right? Or one of them had a restaurant in LA.
I think so. Their season was Vegas. I remember that because I recently watched that one. That was a stacked season.
Like, it was a couple of years after. I liked the Voltaggio brothers. I really liked, what was her name? Stephanie.
Yeah.
Love Stephanie.
She was great. Yeah. And I think she was was she Boston-based? I can't remember.
Chicago, I thought.
Oh, she was Chicago-based. There was, like, a point where...
She's still killing the game.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else.
Brandy went to school with one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Gillespie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, cool. We went to high school together.
I love that. That's fun. Yeah, I love the show. I'm sorry, I'm bad at remembering the names. I haven't watched it in a while, but it always comes up for me. And like, if I have an afternoon and Bravo's playing, you know, like 10 episodes, like,
yeah.
That's a show I can get into again.
Better question, because this will be consistent throughout all seasons. What are some of your favorite challenges? Like, there's always a mise en place, there's always restaurant wars, there's always certain challenges. What are some of your favorite challenges?
Restaurant Wars stresses me out too much. I like
it. Probably too close to it, right?
I like it, but like they all suck. You can't put a restaurant together in 24 hours, right? It's even not as nice as a pop-up. Like it just is never. I don't know.
It's supremely unfair. It's an unfair challenge from start to finish, for sure.
I prefer the quick fires. I don't know why, but I think like a quick fire challenge for me is more of a challenge for these chefs, like to do it in that amount of time. They're more impressive than the main challenge sometimes. Mm-hmm. I like when they cook their last meal. That's always
good. Yeah, the last meal is always good. There was one quick fire. Anytime that you get to see Tom cook is just like... jaw on the floor. I forget what season it was. It might have been All Stars because I just watched it.
You nerd.
I'm such a fucking nerd about this shit. But the quick fire was Tom's going to cook a dish. However fast he takes, that's how much time you have.
I remember this challenge.
You ready?
I think I'm ready. Keep in mind, I'm a little rusty.
You're sweating a little bit.
A little bit. I expected that.
Ready? Get set? Go!
The most impressive thing is how organized it is. Every move is synchronized perfectly with the next one.
I'm actually really impressed with how fast he opens up those clams.
Like the Jersey Strip back in the day, Chef.
You know it.
I'm starting to get concerned that I could have 4 minutes to make a dish.
Time's up.
8:37.
Are you freaking kidding me?
I make my daughter peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the morning and have trouble getting it done in 8 minutes and 37 seconds. I don't know how I'm going to do that.
I'll have to watch this again.
It was
That's impressive.
Wild. I highly recommend rewatching. I think it's season 8, the first All Stars. Oh my, top to bottom, an incredible season. I knew it was going to happen. I was still riveted the whole time.
I remember the first All Stars. That was a good season.
I love it. Anna, this is a really good list. So to recap, Pen 15 and The Undoing are Anna Reisman's the best shows she's ever seen.
Jared's going to be like, The Undoing? Like, huh?
I love it. Well, we should say, Pen 15 and The Undoing, asterisk, probably South Park, are the best shows you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Will and Grace and American Idol are your favorite shows of all time. And Sex and the City and Top Chef are the shows you would watch forever. Brandy, of these 6 picks, what's the most interesting pick?
I mean, I just love Pen 15. It's just such a smart, funny, good show. I love it anytime I watch a show that I'm like, I wish I came up with that. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, you know what I mean? And they just do such a good job. And I just love watching, like, really funny women do really impressive, awesome television shows. So that's my one. What about you, Dan? What stands out for you?
Two things stand out. I'll give you a positive and a negative.
Ooh.
The positive is Top Chef. I think that's an excellent.
Thank you.
Almost perfect choice for a forever show, especially given the parameters.
Yeah.
I held back earlier, but I'm still shocked by The Undoing. I can't believe
that's one. So you are on Team Jared when it comes to The Undoing. Seen.
I'm on Team Jared with this one. For me, I understand the appeal, but it was like the whole show was a big red herring of like, here's the person it probably is, and we're going to waste 6 hours of your time making you think it isn't, but it was the whole time. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like my time was wasted.
Wow. You know what? I feel that way about The Flight Attendant. Waste of your fucking time. Did you watch it, Brandy?
I haven't watched it.
Well, it does go under the category of white people murdering, so, yeah. I don't know if you'll handle it well.
I'm not there yet.
All right, Anna, before we sign off, and this is a surprise, but we always end with three lightning round questions.
Okay.
And these are the opposite of the criteria, so don't overthink it. The first answer that comes to your head is what we want to know. Okay. What's a canceled show that we haven't mentioned yet that you would revive tomorrow if you could?
Mama's Family.
What is that? Oh my God, what is that?
I haven't thought about Mama's Family in so long. I've seen so many episodes of it.
Wait, tell me what this is. What is
Are
this?
Are you kidding me? It's a classic sitcom.
It's a classic sitcom.
It was, what's her name? Carol Burnett's partner.
Vicki Lawrence.
Vicki Lawrence was Vicki Mama. Lawrence. She was like.
Oh, I know that name.
She was, probably from 50.
It was from the Carol Burnett show.
Yeah.
And then it was a spinoff, and then it was Mama's Family, and it was
slapstick, you know. Yeah. It was just a funny show. My brother and I watched a lot of Mama's Family.
Mm-hmm. It was one of those shows in syndication that came on like whatever the channels were with before they were the WB.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still on sometimes. I don't watch it anymore, but a reboot of Mama's Family sounds like fun, you know? She was such a good character, Vicki Lawrence. Like she was probably like 50, and they put her in like this gray wig that was so bad, and
I didn't realize that she wasn't old until I was an adult and I was like, "Oh, like she wasn't an old lady."
Right. She was a character. That's why they're like, women can't act over 50 in Hollywood, you know? They're just going to get some like 40-year-old woman in a wig. Like, Dan, it's a really funny show.
I don't know why I've never heard of this. I feel bad about myself that I've never heard of this. I need to correct it.
Have you heard of All in the Family?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. last one. And this one, Anna, you should feel special. This is specific for you. No one else is going to get this lightning round question. If you had to pick one scene from a TV show and do a shot-for-shot remake of it, what scene would that be?
This is hard. I think I'd do the scene where Carrie's running away from the ballerina in the final episode of Sex and the City, and she's going down the staircase, and she runs into Big, and they both fall on the ground, and she finds her necklace. Like, there's a whole, like, it's a whole little, like, montage there. I think I'd do that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It's very visual.
That's a challenge, a montage.
Yeah, and it's also, like, the staircase would be really mm-hmm. fun to find a place to recreate it in.
Mm-hmm.
If I had more time, I'd pick probably 10 other scenes, but it was in my brain and I was like, that would be fun. I see it. You know what I mean?
I love it.
I like that.
But mine would be like concrete, you know, like the emergency staircase in my building. That's what it's going to be, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So last question, Anna, before we wrap up, what's something recent that you've been obsessed with that people should check out, a recent watch?
I don't know how recent. I watched that Woody Allen documentary the other night.
That's Ooh. Recent. How was it?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's Farrow versus Allen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It was good. It's juicy. You know, I mean, I know he had some fucked up shit going on, but it's the Farrows are coming for them. Because it's produced by the Farrows.
Right.
But the footage they have and like just the like sound bites they have from him, it's I can't wait for you to watch it. I like literally I've been asking friends. That's how I know I enjoy it. I'm like, oh my, I watch a lot of docs, which I famously didn't pick, which is I didn't pick any. I didn't even think about docs, and that's all I watch
No crime documentary series.
I should have.
It's all right. We'll have you back on. This is a moment in time. This is like, you know, what you think now. And a year from now, it might change, you know.
Yeah. No, crime docs are my favorite.
With that, guys, it is a wrap on this episode of TVBFFs. Yay. So thank you so much, Anna Roisman.
Thank you.
Where can we find you?
You can find me anywhere on social media at Anna Roisman, A-N-N-A-R-O-I-S-M-A-N. And you can check out my podcast, Unemployed with Anna Roisman. It's wherever you listen to podcasts. I talk to people about jobs they've had and lost, and it's a fun time. And not sad.
It's not. It is a blast. It's actually a blast.
It's uplifting. It's uplifting. Yeah.
It's super fun.
We love our old job.
Yeah.
All right, so everybody, please rate, review, and subscribe, and check us out on Instagram. We're at TVBFF Podcast, or you can email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please reach out. We would love to hear from all of you, and send us your six. We want to know what your top six shows of all time are and where they fall on your own personal BFF criteria. So send us your picks, and we'll share our favorites on the podcast. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
Bye.